What can you do this weekend that won't cost you anything? In fact, what can you do in London that don't cost nothing at all? Talk the Walk with John the Cabby, BBC 94.9. We live in the most beautiful city on the planet Earth, and let's go around and have a look at the joys are there to be seen. Talk the Walk with John the Cabby, BBC 94.9. My name's Big George, and I talk to cab driver John Kennedy about the best walks in London. It's fascinating. Talk the Walk with John the Cabby, BBC 94.9. And here's a cast iron guarantee. It's walking through the streets of London, but without any sight of Ralph McTell.
Oi! How you doing, John? All right, mate?
Yeah, a little bit rushed.
And you've just been over Tom's over at Clapham.
Yeah, and then I had a cup of tea.
I was going to nip over there. I don't need to now. Tom, I was going to nip over, but I don't need to now.
Ended up having a bacon sandwich.
He's sent in. I like that. He's takeaway food.
Have you heard about Barry?
No, what?
Well, Barry got his wage rise after.
All right, so he says he's Barry who cleans up.
Yeah, he's got his wage rise, but he has to bring his own sandwiches and flasks to work.
So he don't get free sandwich anymore.
Well, just, you know, that's life, I suppose, isn't it?
That's life. Right, now, John, where are we going?
Well, I'll tell you what, we're filling in some little gaps in London, and we're... do you remember a while back we went around Hyde Park Corner?
Yeah.
Slightly, I mean, you know what, I was only sort of like after last week's talk, there I was working the weekend and in the week, Kinnerton Street, Mockham Street, got a job down at Kinnerton Street. It's a funny little... one of the we're going to go into this sort of like... if you're going to make a spy movie, this is where you shoot where people live. You know, they're going to, you know, where one of the spies live type thing. Those little muses around London. And, you know, it's beautiful little street. Couple of blinding pubs down there.
Let me just show you a picture, John. Now, last week, John took us into a lovely little park, and he showed me a particular tomb, which I wanted to have a photo shoot done. What do you reckon, John? I had my photo shoot done.
It's fantastic, isn't it?
You happy with that?
That really, look, I'm isn't that coincidence?
That's you amazing. Came in, I said, I need somewhere. Had the picture done. John the Cabby, as ever, you turn up.
That's brilliant, that, isn't it?
You turn up trumps every time. I was out with Phil last night, Cabby. He took me over to Chelsea Bridge.
Oh, yeah.
Big fan of yours, man.
Is he? Well, say hello to Phil, yeah. Phil. I mean, well, I met a fan. I met a few of my colleagues again tonight. I did there for a quick cup of tea. Thomas the Taxi, disgruntled, a taxi driver, another guy called Leapman Lyle. Millwall fan, obviously, I think. Come on, you Irons. I'm a West Ham fan, though. But no, it's just good to have a cup of tea with some like-minded, you know, sort of younger cab drivers, you could say. People that are feeling good, like I said, over things happening in the last few weeks, you know, and... It's just nice to meet up with like-minded people and have a sensible discussion. You might not agree with everything, but you're at least discussing things in a sensible manner and then trying to formulate some sensible policies for the future.
Right, now then, where are we going tonight on Talk the Walk?
Like I said to you, Kinnerton Street, corner of Mockham Street. You're off of the back end of Knightsbridge, here we are. So if you look for Belgrave Square, just northwest of Belgrave Square, you'll notice a little street, Mockham Street, and then Kinnerton launches off to the right-hand side. It's a small road, it is. It should just show up, does show up quite well.
Right, okay. Now, why is this of any interest to us?
Why? But just to some... I'll tell you what. It's one of those little streets and roads. It's where we're going to walk through.
Right.
We're on the Grosvenor Estate. We've spoke about it before, Duke of Westminster. But there's a wonderful statue we're going to end the talk with today that's worth a visit, especially if you're a dog lover. I've got to say, it's definitely worth a visit. But there's some lovely pubs around here. And this is a beautiful street and road. I mean, so we're at the corner. Used to be the Turk's Head pub that I think a famous DJ used to drink in a lot from here, wasn't it? Chris Evans. You know, that's gone now. That's sort of like a gastro pub now. More like, well, actually, it's more of a restaurant, a diner now. It is, I think it's called P or something it is. That's bang on the corner. You turn into Kinnerton Street, and what you'll notice is some new development on your left-hand side. Because it's odd. There's some 1960s, 1970s sort of looking flats. Brick built. But you walk up it, and what you'll notice is because of it's narrow, this street and road, even on a sunny day like today, there's very little sun cast upon it. Mm-hmm. So it's very cool. And then there's a little bend in the road, and then you come to this, it's like an oasis. Beautiful little mews houses, lots of little mews off. If you notice on the map to your left, you've got...
Well, how long is it in, is it 300 years we've had poet laureates? I think it's 300 years that there's been, poet laureates, and she's the first female. And do you know how much she gets, Ollie? Do you know, it's 341 years. And She will serve 10 years in the position. And she, do you know how much she gets for being poet laureate? £5,750 a year. So she gets like, £100 a week, Ollie. It's £100 a week for being poet laureate. And then she has to write poems on, you know, Prince Harry's birthday. I wonder if she'll write a poem, Ollie, about the fact that he hasn't washed his hair in 2 years. That's one of those stories, Ollie, that doesn't hold water because the water probably comes out of the shower, goes onto his head. And so while he's showering, he's probably washing his hair at the same time. He probably means that he hasn't purposely washed his hair for a number of years. That would be me, Ollie, as well. I don't wash my hair. You know, I get in the shower, you know, and I do it there. I don't think I'm going to go and wash my hair. I'm not a girl or anything, Ollie. I'm not a girl who can't go out because she's washed her hair. No, no, no. And what do I use? I'll have cold showers, Ollie, and I use fairy liquid. Why? Because I'm hard. Right, Victoria.
Hello.
Well, now then, girls wash their hair more than boys, don't they? You know, physically actually go and just wash their hair.
Oh, yeah.
Why do they do that?
Well, it's always a good excuse for not doing something else. There is that.
Okay.
And it's just quite good fun, isn't it? Some putting something...
No, it's no...
It smells nice and makes your hair feel nice.
It's no fun at all. Why would that be fun?
The thing is, washing your hair, once you start, you can't stop. The more you do it, the more you have to do it.
Is that right?
Well, that's why they say if you stop washing your hair... It gets clean. It cleans itself. You have to leave it a few months and it stinks and it's really greasy, but then it's clean again.
Right.
But if you do it every other day, you have to keep doing it every other day
because
it starts getting greasy and horrible.
Okay, I can see that. Yeah. See, I mean, I know loads of people and they don't comb it. They put oil in it.
And all those costume dramas, they never wash the hair. Oh, it's lovely, doesn't it? So
yeah.
It must have worked for them.
Do you know what? Of all the hair things, the person that I always think of is Marilyn Monroe. She had fantastic hair.
Wigs.
Would you reckon that was wigs?
I wouldn't have put it past her.
No, I don't think it was, actually. I really don't think she wore wigs.
A team of hairdressers.
Yeah, but...
Trailers full.
At the time, there was no products like you've got now.
Hairspray.
Yeah, but it was nuclear hairspray, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was stuff that you sprayed on your hair, and it either glowed or your head fell off.
Well, that would stop you from washing it, because hairspray just holds everything, holds the grease at bay.
When I was a kid, and it was beehive time, when my mum and dad had a party, all the women come around with beehives up, and they'd continue to spray their hair. Everybody was out of their brains on solvents, and it was. Anyway, it's 2:30.
And your headlines this evening. A woman from South London who's pregnant tonight with lows of 11 Celsius, 52 Fahrenheit. And I should talk about the morning rather than night, really. It's going to be a sunny day once it gets going, and it'll be dry for the rest of the day with highs of 19 Celsius, 66 Fahrenheit. There's your headlines. More news in half an hour.
You're listening to London's radio station.
Can you find love over 50, Elaine?
When you leave an advert, I said, how will I recognise you? And he said, oh, I've got blonde hair and blue eyes. When I met him, he did that earlier.
Vanessa Feltz, UK BBC local presenter.
Did you have a bit of shoulder sticking out?
No.
A bit of negligee?
Well, you know what? If you're going to be with somebody, they've got to love you for what you are anytime, isn't it?
What we want to know is how do you do it?
Yes.
Especially us people who are over 50, it's a matter of extraordinary interest.
And so she's over 90. This is love at 90.
He's 90, he's 95, and they are delightful couples.
Vanessa Feltz.
Coffee. A quick coffee. No cake, just coffee. In, out. If you like them, see them again for dinner, but not.
In London, 94.9.
What can you do this weekend that won't cost you anything? In fact, what can you do in London that don't cost nothing at all?
Talk the walk with John the Cabby, BBC 94.9.
We live in the most beautiful city on the planet Earth, and let's go around and have a look at the joys that are there to be seen.
Talk the walk with John the Cabby, BBC 94.9.
My name's Big George, and I talk to cab driver John Kennedy about the best walks in London. It's fascinating.
Talk the walk with John the cabby, BBC 94.9.
And here's a cast iron guarantee. It's walking through the streets of London, but without any sight of Ralph McTell.
Oi!
Adrian, John, all right, mate?
Yeah, a little bit rushed.
And you've just been over at Tom's over at Clapham.
Yeah, and then they had a cup of tea.
I was going to nip over there, I don't need to now. Tom, I was going to nip over, but I don't need to now.
Ended up having a bacon sandwich.
He sent in, I like that, his takeaway food.
Have you heard about Barry?
No, what?
Well, Barry got his wage rise off.
All right, so he says he's Barry who cleans up.
Yeah, he's got his wage rise, but he has to bring his own sandwiches and flask to work.
So he don't get free sandwich anymore.
Well, just, you know, that's life, I suppose, isn't it?
That's life. Right, now, John, where are we going?
I'll tell you what, we're filling in some little gaps in London, and we're, do you remember a while back we went around Hyde Park Corner?
Yeah.
Slightly. I mean, I was only sort of like after last week's talk, there I was working a weekend and in the week, Kinnerton Street, Mockham Street. Got a job down at Kinnerton Street. It's a funny little one of the we're going to go into this sort of like, if you're going to make a spy movie, this is where you shoot where people live. You know, they're going to, you know, where one of the spies live type thing. Those little muses around London. And, it's beautiful little street, couple of blinding pubs down there.
Let me just show you a picture, John. Now, last week, John took us into a lovely little park, and he showed me a particular tomb, which I wanted to have a photo shoot done. What do you reckon, John? I had my photo shoot done.
It's fantastic, isn't it?
You happy with that?
That really, look, I'm. Isn't that coincidence?
That's you amazing. Came in, I said, I need somewhere. Had the picture done. John the cabby, as ever, you turn up.
That's brilliant, that, isn't it?
You turn up trumps every time. I was out with Phil last night, cabby. He took me over to Chelsea Bridge.
Oh, yeah.
Big fan of yours, man.
Is he? Well, say hello to Phil, Phil. I mean, well, I met a fan. I met a few of my colleagues again tonight. I did there for a quick cup of tea. Thomas the taxi, disgruntled, a taxi driver. Another guy called Leapman Lyle. Millwall fan, obviously, I think. Come on, you Irons. I'm a West Ham fan, though. But no, it's just good to have a cup of tea with some like-minded, sort of younger cab drivers, you could say. People that are feeling good, like I said, over things happening in the last few weeks, you know. And it's just nice to meet up with like-minded people and have a sensible discussion. You might not agree with everything, but you're at least discussing things in a sensible manner and then trying to formulate some sensible policies for the future.
Right, now then, where are we going tonight on Talk the Walk?
Like I said to you, Kinnerton Street, corner of Mockham Street. You're off of the back end of Knightsbridge, here we are. So if you look for Belgrave Square, just north, northwest of Belgrave Square, you'll notice a little street, Mockham Street, and then Kinnerton launches off to the right hand side. It's a small road, it is. It should just show up, does show up quite well.
Right, okay, now why is this of any interest to us?
Why? But just to some, I'll tell you what. It's one of those little streets and roads. It's where we're going to walk through.
Right.
We're on the Grosvenor Estate. We've spoke about it before, Duke of Westminster. But there's a wonderful statue we're going to end the talk with today that's worth a visit, especially if you're a dog lover. I've got to say, it's definitely worth a visit. But there's some lovely pubs around here. And this is a beautiful street and road. I mean, so we're at the corner. Used to be the Turk's Head pub that I think a famous DJ used to drink in a lot from here, wasn't it, Chris Evans? You know, that's gone now. That's sort of like a gastro pub now. More like, actually, it's more of a restaurant, a diner now. It is, I think it's called P or something it is. That's bang on the corner. You turn into Kinnerton Street, and what you'll notice is some new development on your left-hand side. Because it's odd. There's some 1960s, 1970s sort of looking flats. Brick built. But you walk up it, and what you'll notice is because of it's narrow, this street and road, even on a sunny day like today, there's very little sun cast upon it. Mm-hmm. So it's very cool. And then there's a little bend in the road, and then you come to this, it's like an oasis. Beautiful little mews houses, lots of little mews off. If you notice on the map to your left, you've got, it's like Frederick Mews, Kinnerton Park something Mews is. There's all these beautiful little names off to you. I can't even pronounce them because they're all so small. But what you will notice up there, though, is two fantastic looking public houses. And the noise, you can't hear anything there. Bar the, when a plane comes across, you'll notice the noise then, but you don't actually hear anything. As you're walking up, all you'll notice is the chitter-chatter outside the Nag's Head and outside the Wilton Arms.
I mean, this, we are talking about serious money to live here, aren't we?
Serious money ain't the word. I had a look in an estate agent's window down here, and we were talking in SW1 now, Buckingham Gate, just about half a mile away from where we are, a 15-bed, three-bathroomed, terraced Georgian house, £4.5 million. If you were thinking of renting a two-bed flat locally, with a probably a yard to walk in, £850 a week.
A week.
And this is, we're talking in recessionary times. Imagine what that house was worth, let's say 18 months ago. Must have been at least 5.2, I would have thought. So this is serious money, this area. It's a beaut, but nothing stops you going to the public houses.
And oh, no.
The beautiful little shop down here. You know, it's like a little local store. It says village store. Because guess what? You're going to feel like you're in a village. It is just, for me, well, you drive down there occasionally in your cab, and you can't believe actually what you're seeing. That's what's beautiful about it. I mean, it's
And they're lucky people that live there. And what you'll notice is dotted amongst the houses is obviously two pubs, a local store. The little side turnings off here are private. They're mainly to your left-hand side. And then you'll find the odd shop selling, like, clothing. And then there's one as we turn right into Kinnerton Street, because we're going to walk out into a little bit called Wilton Place. But that little bit of the corner, Kinnerton Street, if you go dead on, it's a dead end. But when you turn right to get yourself onto Wilton Place, what you'll notice is a little shop, like a children's, you know, store on the corner. But I'd say these are special children. Mummy and Daddy have got plenty of money. But there's nothing wrong with it. Stores like that are needed, and it's good. People are knitting and making garments, I think. It's nice to see stores like that, specialty stores. I think it's important, in the shop, you know, in a city like London, to have a bit of... Well, look, it's a beautiful little street, and thank God there isn't a phone shop down there. I think that's wonderful to see. But when you get to Wilton Place, what you will notice is it's a bit more busier. It starts to get a little bit noisier, it does. You look immediately to your left-hand side, what you'll see is one of London's finest hotels, the Barclay.
Right.
How do you know it's a great hotel? Well, you just see a good long line of cabs outside, for starters, well-stocked, even in busy times, always stocked. That's a good sign, that is. Good supply of cabs there today. An understated, sandy stone-looking building. Doesn't say it's a fantastic hotel, but you just notice the way the doorman's very smart.
Yeah.
Not smart with... any dribble. I don't mean he's rudely, like, you know, smart in the sense of making them wear a silly uniform. It's a well-tailored uniform. It's to fit the individual. You notice he's wearing a bowler hat.
Yeah.
And that's...
Because this is a really exclusive area, isn't it?
Like I said, you're on the Grosvenor Estate here, you are. And this is a very, very fine part of London. Now, if you look immediately dead ahead of you, you've got another bit of Wilton Place. But look to your right, what you'll notice is a beautiful-looking church. St. Paul's of Knightsbridge. You don't notice it when you're driving past enough. You notice there's a church there because of the archway with a beautiful carving it is, I presume, of St. Paul. But when you stop and actually take a walk and look at the wonderful stained glass window above the entrance, and there's a picture outside. They actually put a little billboard out, oddly enough, of the church, St. Paul's of Knightsbridge. It's a C of E. And it shows the wonderful stained glass window behind the altar. And just for that workmanship alone, it's worth a visit. Look at the tower, the tiered tower. Again, just wonderful. Some of the pictures I took are just, yeah, superb in the look of it. And then look immediately to your right and walk now towards the part, on Wilton Place still, walk towards Wilton Crescent. And it is a crescent. It's a half a circle, a semicircle. On your right-hand side, we've got cream-looking, lower-tiered Georgian houses. When you get to the end here, you'll notice the semicircular garden in front of you. Again, access only for locals.
Yeah.
But when you get to this junction, look to your right, look to your left, just notice the grey stone it is of these buildings. And just that beautiful curb. Remember when we spoke about that curb before on Regent Street?
Yeah.
This is what you've got here. It's just wonderful, this grey stone. Every house has got a massive door number next to it. Number 2 used to be, Earl Mountbatten used to live there.
Really?
Yeah, number 2 here, yeah, blue plaque on the wall. So, you know, it's always nice when you see that. I like those blue plaques, but I mean, it probably adds a bit of added value to the home as well.
Well, yeah, I like those blue plaques as well. Yeah. I feel really honoured that I live in a block next door to Ed Morrow. He was that American journalist, a brilliant journalist.
But... this area, it's a short walk, worth a little stroll round. I mean, you can turn to your right, just admire that crescent, that beautiful curve, take a left then you can onto the bottom part of the crescent, and then obviously a left again brings you back to where you're standing. But they're grey. It's odd how these are totally different, these properties, to what you expect in the rest of the area, because Belgrave Square is that magnolia and cream.
Yeah.
Yet this is just grey. It's just different. Different for the actual area it's in. Now, where say you're at the junction there, Wilton Place, we've turned left into Wilton Crescent. What we're going to do now is turn left into a little street called Wilton Row.
Right.
And when you get there, a little sign telling you it's a private mews. No dog walking or fouling up there, please.
Right.
You'll just notice it tells you by order of the Grosvenor Estate. And what you'll notice then is some building work, a lot of building work on here, and you'll notice a crane, you will, because they're doing up some property on Grosvenor Crescent. However, when you take another kick into the bend, what is here is another fantastic pub, the Grenadier. Bit about the Grenadier. I've had a drink with Cuban Tony in there.
In the Grenadier?
In the Grenadier, yeah. Yeah, honestly, a few of us got together a few years ago,
yeah.
And he did look like the fruit man from Del Monte.
He does. He does look like the man from Del Monte, doesn't he?
With that linen suit on, that cream suit. If he stood next to one of these cream houses in Belgrade Square, you wouldn't see him.
No, no. He's a
and he's great company.
He's a good looking man.
I'll say this now. He's great company.
Oh, I know. It's like you wouldn't have a, you were not having a boring night with Tony, you know.
No.
And a friendly bloke, you know, with an opinion.
Definitely. Oh, yeah, no. And they do, they are noted for a great, as I understand, well, I didn't have one, but a Bloody Mary in here. Mm-hmm. They are noted for it as a drink. It's one of the.
You can imagine this is an area where there are a few Bloody Marys have been put down, wouldn't you?
Definitely. Well, I mean, you know, it is like a village. The peace and quiet. I mean, obviously, Belgrave Square's a bit busier, but this little bit, through a throughput of cabs, you'll notice on Wilton Place, Wilton Crescent, that's who's using the road there. But the little, once you get into these muses, it is by foot. I mean, I walk past that at night and there's a gentleman there, cleaning his vintage Porsche. And, you know, I just happened to pass, comment, nice car, sir. You know, as I'm walking back, I said, must be a pleasure to drive. He went, no. And I quite like that because let's be honest, it's old. And, you know, you're going to feel, I mean, as much as it's a beautiful looking Porsche, a more modern one.
Not as comfortable as my Skoda, mate, that's for sure.
No, but his modern cars are comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, there comes a point, you know.
So why is he doing? He's spending all that money keeping that on the road and it's a miserable drive.
Oh, I think this is more collections.
Yeah.
You know, I think this is a love of a vehicle. And it did look beautiful. There's no doubt about it. It's lovely to see. The pub itself, you know, it's got the little Grenadier box outside, as we know. We spoke about the guards before.
Yeah.
Grenadiers are one of the company of guards that pop outside the palace from time to time.
Grosvenor Estate, start up with at land. I mean, like Duke of Westminster. He's a powerful man in London, isn't he? I mean, he owns the richest parts of London, doesn't he?
Yeah, and we will be talking about that shortly. But I've got another big story for you about Wilton Row.
All right.
Now, a few years back, I dropped off down in Wilton Row, and then noticed at the end the door open, just ajar. And an alarm going off. So, you know, do you do the decent thing, phone the police, whatever? Or do you think something serious could be happening right now? So I knocked on the door of a house nearby. And it was the man that did the Barrett advert, that voice, the voice himself.
All right, yeah.
Yeah, he's now, sadly, you know, he's gone to rest, hasn't he, in peace?
Yeah.
Do you remember? I can't think of his name.
No.
I remember knocking.
Who was the? Because he'd done all the big voiceovers.
He did the when you hear the air attack warning. Wasn't
yeah.
He did the actual voiceover for the government video the day in the '70s about when you hear the air about nuclear war, and I'll never forget that. Obviously, part of a song it was to a popular band, but he's also remembered for, you know, he had one of those most distinctive voices. Now, of all the houses, of all the doors you could knock on, it was his. And what a gentleman. All I remember is this man was a gentleman beyond belief. He was like, and he was taller than me, and his hands, I'm 6'2", he was ginormous, his hands were. And we, you know, phoned the police and then paid the investigation to this door. And he was so pleased that someone was bothered about something, because the alarm wasn't ringing as such, just the light going off, but the door was ajar, you know. But what a gentleman. And, you know, and there he lived in Wilton Row. And, you know.
Patrick Allen.
Yeah, and you don't forget little moments like that in your life. You know, just by pure chance thinking, you know, you've got to do something. You just can't waltz away and, it's not that. You're there, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, before you know, someone could have been getting hammered or whatever. Or whatever, you know, something nasty could be happening.
Yeah.
Thank God, though, the police came along. I was able to go. And
Patrick Allen was his name. Thank you very much indeed, Ollie.
He was a good gentleman, though.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's my little bit of sort of like, you know, a random knock on the door, doing the public duty, and there was this gentleman there. Anyway, come back out of Wilton Road, George, and we're going to turn left back into Wilton Crescent. And what we see in front of us, it's a nasty, busy junction, what we're seeing here.
Yeah.
You can only turn left, you can, from here, and then all of a sudden you'll get to... Oh, I've mucked up my camera there, sorry. You see this statue right in front of you, the back of it, a man sitting in a chair, and then a dog to one side sitting up, and a dog lying down. Like, you presume paws out. That's what they normally do when they lie out. And it turns out, it tells you, on the actual big stone plinth, again, massive stone plinth, I could build a house out of this plinth alone, I'm sure, it tells you about the Grosvenor family, how they came to England. They date back to the times of William the Conqueror. So, originally French. They've held land in Cheshire since that time. So we're talking, what they're saying, since the 17th century. Sir Thomas Grosvenor, by the way, since the 17th century, Sir Thomas Grosvenor, third baronet, married Mary Davis, a London heiress, and part of her dowry, this is the best bit, was part of the area called Ebury. Now, it turns out that was known then as Mayfair.
Right.
And they redeveloped this area, they did, into what it is now. So this is how this estate formed. And then in the 18th century, they redeveloped other parts. And 19th, like we're talking Great Belgravia and then Pimlico. And then to this day, well, we're talking now in 1979, the present Duke of Westminster, Gerard Cavendish, Grosvenor, became the 6th Duke of Westminster. And in 1997, he decided to stick up this statue to the present Duke. And what you'll notice, now, this is all this information, you can get all this information off the actual plinth.
Yeah.
What you'll notice on the front of the statue, and you take a good look at him, this is a learned man, very dapper in his dress, obviously, because he's a man of wealth and monies, and you see these two dogs. The dogs are a breed of dogs called Talbot. It's extinct, the dog breed now. But it's to do with our, like, hunting. They were a hunting dog, they were. They introduced those some other Normans, mm-hmm. They were a hunting dog, and you'll see them sit a actually a fantastic looking breed of dog. I like my dog deep. It's a shame these dogs are extinct, I'd say. But they form part of the coat of arms. So either side of the actual, the shield, the garb, I think they call that part, you'll see two dogs. Whereas we're normally used to seeing like our royal coat of arms, like with a lion and a unicorn. And then on the top of the helmet on the shield is another dog. That's quite odd. And so they obviously had a big lover, these dogs.
Yeah.
You know, that they show so much influence. And then right on the actual garb on the shield, we see portcullises, we do. We see the roses of England. So we've seen how Normans, French, all of a sudden converted then to what England is now and how Lord they were. And we see the symbol of the portcullises as well upon the garb, we do. I thought this is wonderful. But it turns out now that this dog is part of the ancestral stocks that give us the modern bloodhound. But it was Sir Robert Grosvenor sits upon this chair, the first Marquess of Westminster, 1767 to 1845. And you'll see it, the wheat sheaf, that's to do with the land they own in Cheshire.
Mm-hmm.
Belgravia. There's a bit of land in Cheshire where they've obviously farmed it, as you say.
Yeah.
So, and it's funny how they brought that name then back into London. I just, you know, but it's a beautiful statue. Standing there on an island, you know, and again, you'll thank God we've still got some zebra crossings here. We have, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just a stunning, wonderful, beautiful little walk. This is short, sweet.
I'm going to go around there. I'm going to drive though.
And what you've got also, though, is, I should say, on top, tells you 197 miles to Cheshire. Chester, sorry.
Why do they do
that? Well, it's just a landmark.
Oh, right.
Well, I mean, they own their land there, so they're just telling you how far away they are, you know.
I mean, Gerald Cavendish, who is the current Duke of Westminster, I mean, he's the third richest man in the country behind, who is it, Laskimer Mitchell and Roman Abramovich. And but he was a major general, right? He was a major general. But what you may not realise is that he went to Harrow School, right?
Hmm.
One of the finest learning establishments on the planet. And he got one O-level.
Correct.
And he failed his examination to get into the Royal Military Academy at Sandhurst. And so he joined the TA and became a trooper.
Correct. He joined the Territorial Army. Yep. There used to be a programme about this guy in the 80s or late 70s, wasn't there? There was actually a programme on him. And it showed him as an... I remember him seeing him as an officer in the TA.
Yeah.
And they mentioned exactly that, how he didn't do that well at school.
Yeah.
But then...
Then he worked his way up to become a major general.
But you could argue, considering the family you're in, did you need to do that well at school? Do you really have to be... How can I put this? Probably more in meaning with recruiting the right people to run your estate.
Yeah.
That's what you... I mean, you know, in a weird way, you're probably better off being educated into running the family affairs and the family businesses.
Yeah.
And one thing this mob are very good at... I wouldn't say mob, sorry.
No, you know, but
yeah, family are... they're exceptionally good at running what they've got and what they own. They do a fantastic job. And they're, as I understand it, they're not lethal on their rents either, on certain part. Like, part of Pimlico Road comes under the Grosvenor Estate, and they want tenants in. I've picked people up and go, they're very reasonable tenants, they are. Like, you know, or, no, they're very reasonable to their tenants, they are, with their rent. You know, that they want London to be vibrant. They do have a care, you know, about this wonderful city. And when you look, I mean, look, I took some photographs there today. I mean, look. Well, I got one in George. I know I'm a bit obsessed about him, but there's one of her. One of a Bendy Bollard.
So
Bendy Bollard.
Those Bendy Bollards. But where will, if anybody wants to find out more about this, where do we go?
www.freelondonevents.co.uk, and you'll have the podcast. And it should have a script if I get, you know, not too busy. And then we'll have the photographs up that I've shot when I've been around those areas. And, You know, that's a bendy bollard. I mean, it just, I don't want to go on about street furniture, but, you know, it shows you the amount of money we waste, but they're so ugly. They don't suit the area. You know, I'm a great believer in aesthetics. You've got to get some things right.
Yeah.
You have. And they look cheap and nasty. I wouldn't put them down a market stall. I wouldn't put that in the worst borough in London. It don't look right. Our old square, cube, remember the rectangular bollard?
Yeah, I do.
It looked the part, you know, and you know, we have a habit of...
Their argument is that, you knock them over and they're broken. The bendy bollards, you knock them over, they bounce back up again.
Yeah, until they put them back on, well, most of them actually sit in front of a lamppost, so that argument goes straight at them, you see.
But I'm in agreement with you about street furniture. There's far too much street furniture around, far too many pedestrian crossings. We should have zebra crossings. You know what I mean?
Fine enough, we got some here. That's how you get to that island where the statue is. And it, you know, how simple.
See, zebra crossings work. That's the thing. Zebra crossings work. And I think that anybody that break, you know, that if you're driving, and anybody that was that drove over a zebra crossing while there was a pedestrian there, you know, there should be a massive punishment for it, you know. And I think that there should be, you know, like there should be, you know, TV adverts about zebra crossings. But you know, you drive around London nowadays with the amount of pelican crossings and stuff, you're sitting at crossings where there's no one anywhere near because someone's pushed the button.
Correct.
And you think to yourself, what? And then you think, shall I just go? Well, no, because I'll get nicked and get 3 points and 60 quid.
Yeah.
And but I'm sitting here for no reason. Whereas, if there was a zebra crossing there, I'd stop when someone wanted to cross over.
But on this walk, you'll see.
Sorry, John.
No,
I went off on one of your rants there.
No, but on this walk, you will come to eventually then a zebra crossing, a two part zebra crossing.
Yeah.
Which gets you to near another side of Belgrave Square. But what you'll suddenly realise when you get to this bit of Belgrave Square is that you are right close bang next to Hyde Park Corner, such a busy junction, and you're just south of Knightsbridge. And yet, for the majority of this walk, you are experiencing peace and tranquility. It's actually very, very hard to believe you can do that in the heart of London. But the reality is, this is about as nearest as you'll get to walking around a village, honestly.
Well, London is a series of villages, isn't it?
But no, but when you're in Kennington Street, you can't believe that the idea tonight, I could listen to, all I can hear is chitter-chatter outside pubs. You can't do that. Normally, you just hear traffic, 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 airplane, traffic, 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 you know, and maybe when you get right by, but the fact that when you're walking up it, you'll just hear the chitter-chatter of people. And again, a good mix of people, actually. You know, a good mix of, I'd say, locals, workers, not just the usual suspects, I say, in the pubs. I'd say far from it, you know, and I like that. I like that when the well-to-do's mix with the working classes. Nothing wrong with that.
John, there is nothing wrong with that. Right, there we go. Oh, that was a great one, wasn't it? Are you ready, John? Let's do this. I'm ready for it. Here we go. Talk the Walk with John the Cabby, BBC 94.9. See, every week he comes in, Ollie, and every week he delivers. And you know what? He's going to save the taxi industry. Talk the Walk with John the Cabby, BBC 94.9. And I've just finished the film, Ollie, and there's John the Cabby in there pretending he don't know me. That's him acting. He calls me mate. Talk the Walk with John the Cabby. BBC 94.9. John, we'll see you next week. Is that right?
Yes, definitely.
And is Dave from Chelsea Bridge coming in?
It'll be next Friday. Dave's coming in.
He's a big baby.